Welcome to MSP Soundbites. My name's Rod Sadden. I'm the lead author for the 2007 version of MSP. And in this session, I'm going to talk to you about risk management. So I think to start off with, we better work out what's a risk and what's an issue. Hopefully you found these definitions in the book somewhere. But a risk is an uncertain event that could or may happen in the future, whereas an issue is something we're actively managing at the moment. Important to make the distinction because we've got an issue management process and a risk management process. So you need to be clear which one you're using. For those of you that have already had a look at the manual, one of the things that might jump out at you from this chapter, talk an awful lot about program management. Just as a bit of background, that chapter was written just after the last book was completed. And so it tends to focus more on the management of risk method than it does actually on how to use that in the program management environment. And the 2010 version, which should be out at the end of the year, is much more focused on what risk management to a program means. Okay, so some key things about risk management. There's some core principles that underpin risk in a program. Yeah, you should understand the context of the program, as in how risky is it. One of the things to think about there is the type of program. Is it a compliance program, a vision-led program, or an emergent program? Obviously, a compliance program carries more risk in terms of failure because you could lose some legal status or something or other. So you need to understand how risky it is, and it will also affect the solutions you might select. You need to involve stakeholders, largely because they'll understand the risks probably at least as well as you do. But what they'll most understand is the implication of the risk on their business. There needs to be clear program objectives for risk. Are you going to be risk averse, or are you going to take risks on the way there in the hope of getting some bigger dividends? That we've got a risk management strategy in place. That part of the key is with all the strategy about setting a framework and approach. One of the big dangers is that a program runs its risk in one way and its projects start to run it in a different way. So what we don't want is a risk at a program level being rated 1 to 5, whereas a project's rating it high, medium and low. Else you can't see the overall aggregation. That you report regularly, that people have clear roles and responsibilities, that there's a support structure and culture around it. We've worked in organisations where basically people are raised, people are concerned that if they put a risk on the risk register, they're seen as a bit of a softie. When of course you actually need a support culture where the SRO is encouraging risks to be documented so they can see the level of their own exposure. There need to be early warning indicators and monitors so that you know if there's a change in the environment around you and how that might affect your risk profile, and that it's reviewed regularly. Yeah, you should really have your risk register on your program board agenda, and it should be part of the one-to-one reviews between the SRO and the program manager and the business change managers. Okay, so those are the principles. In the manual, you'll find a risk management process. Well, as risks is embedded in the entire life cycle process, I think it's better to actually review this as a cycle as opposed to a process. And in the book, you'll see that it actually's got 4 major steps. You identify your risks, you assess the implications, you look at their likelihood, their impact on the program, then you plan to avoid them and you implement that plan, and then you review and embed and see how successful you are. One of the interesting things that's come about in the last year or so, and is this version of the book caught in the early days, is the concept of a positive risk as well as a negative risk. So we talk in terms of threats, which are bad things that might happen, and we also talk in terms of opportunities, which are good things that might happen. Now, I'm sure to lots of people, the thought of a risk being a positive thing is still a little bit weird. Like the concept of if I go out on Saturday night, there's a risk I might have a good time. It's still a little bit alien to most people, but it's a sort of thing that's coming around to being a common accepting view of risk. One of the conundrums this does create in MSP is what is the difference between an opportunity and a benefit? And the new version is addressing that. But I would recommend that you look at your benefits management strategy and your risk management strategy and decide where you're going to and how you're going to interface opportunities. So there may come a point where an opportunity is an outside bet, at which point you decide actually that's a measure, we can measure that now, at which point it becomes tracked as part of the benefits process. As long as you're actually looking after it in either benefits or risk, it's okay. Yeah, it's not a conflict in the way MSP is written, it's just recognizing there's more than one way of dealing with it, and it's really down to your organization to decide which way you should deal with it. Okay, so as part of the risk management cycle, when you're identifying benefits, how can you do it? Well, there's a few common ways of doing it. People talk about having workshops is a common way, but more commonly, I would say, is going and looking at previous programs, looking at the other projects and seeing what the common risks are there as well. And in truth, across most programs, there's about 9 or 10 risks that you really need to manage. If you've got 20 or 30 in your risk register, you've got too many. And it's this, the difference is between what is a risk, is it, what you need to do is look for threats A risk is a combination of a threat, an event, and the effect of the event. So you need to, there's too much to cover in this session, but you might need to read a little bit around MSP itself to get more feel on that. But a risk is made up of a threat or a cause, an event that causes that threat to come to life, and then the effect that event might have. Okay, so to give you an example, if you're going to work in the morning, you get out of bed, you're going to catch a bus, and you're going to arrive in the office. There's a number of threats, the threat being you might arrive late, but the causes and events could be alarm clock not going off, oversleeping, bus not turning up. There are a number of things that can happen. So some thought needs to be looked into. It's quite common for people to have, in that scenario, the risk is bus is late. And actually, that's not a risk, that's actually an event that causes the risk to happen. It's quite a complex area, but it will be picked up in the new version of the book. You then assess the value of the risk, what's its probability, its impact, and when's it going to happen, and then evaluate it in terms of monetary terms. So those are the key things that you're doing in that risk management cycle that we were talking about. Within a program, there's four perspectives on risk. The strategic risks. These are the ones that are largely outside the program and can be of many different natures, largely accepted as political, economic, social, technological, legislative, and environmental. These risks tend to be the ones that kick a program off and provide the stimulant to make the program happen or for the organization to decide it has to move. What people tend to forget is these risks are also the ones that are most likely to take the program off track during its life cycle. Those risks don't go away once the program runs. They're rather like a spaceship. They're buffeting the program on the way through. So it's a real mistake to take your eye off those big strategic risks around the organization. Operational risks is the second perspective. Those are really about the challenges of implementing the changes. Operational risks are often linked to the blueprint and very much linked back to benefits. Can the organisation change? Have we got the right people in place to change? Is there going to be industrial relations problems? High levels of resistance? Operational risks are major. They tend to be looked after by the business change manager. The strategic risks tend to be looked after by the senior responsible owner. Project risks are pretty straightforward. They're the risks that threaten the delivery of the project and its outputs. And these tend to dominate risk registers when you look at a program, when really their risk registers have a lot more about operational risks than they do. But it's tempting, because programs and projects are run by people who are largely from a project background, to think about the dangers of delivering some aspect of the program. Program risk is not overly well defined. It's quite a complex area. It's really around aggregating risk. Yeah, you should. At the program risk is really about being able to see risks bubbling up through different projects, or maybe seeing risks in the project area that are affecting operations. It's seeing the totality. I mean, there are some basic risks that are always seen at a program level. This is around stakeholder resistance, would be around continuity of the team, so losing key individuals, losing your SRO, that kind of thing. Those are key risks at a program level. But the important thing is to keep your eye on aggregation. Now, how do you respond to a risk or a threat? MSP gives us five basic responses to a threat. We can share it. So if we can see something nasty coming up on the horizon, we can find a stakeholder to share the risk with us. That one's a little bit limited. It normally reflects a reputation, because we've seen plenty of incidents over the last few years of public sector organisations having their reputation tarnished quite often as a result of their supply chain not operating properly. And this, a share, is where you might share the consequences. It's always important that you can never share the risk to your reputation, though. Transferring a risk, that's basically a car, like you do with your car insurance. You know, you insure your car because you transfer some of the risk of having an accident to an insurance company. So that's basically what transfer is. Removal of a risk is basically where you take a completely different approach. So you select a different option for delivery, which avoids a particular risk. Risk reduction is doing something to either mitigate the impact or the likelihood of it occurring. So there's two tactics that you can use on risk reduction. And retention is basically saying, well, after all the other things that have happened, I'm willing to retain that limited amount of risk that's still in the program. So having spotted a threat, you might have transferred some of it, you might have taken a different approach to remove some other element of it, and then you might be doing something else to reduce its impact. But if it's still in your risk register, then you've willingly retained some risk. Okay, so you've got five threat responses. If it's an opportunity risk, as in something nice could come out of it, there are three things you can do. You either realise the risk, realise the opportunity rather, so you actually do something to make it happen. The other one is enhancement. So you see an opportunity that requires maybe a couple of extra projects or a change of direction, but not a radical change of direction to take advantage of a situation. And then the third one is exploiting the risk, where you might completely change the direction of a programme to take advantage of some change in the environment around you. I would say to exploit a risk, you're probably talking about one of those strategic factors, a political change, technological leap, some economic opportunity coming along that enables that to happen. So those are your three opportunity responses that you should be aware of. Okay, so just to finish off, the key thing I want to go back to, which you need to think about if you're running a programme, is risk aggregation and seeing the totality of risk. And a good way of doing that is to actually use some sort of risk mapping tool that shows your high, medium and low probability and impact, and just seeing how many of your risks are dotted against high impact, high probability. Just trying to manage it through a flat risk register tends not to have the same impact as using some sort of graphical illustration. You can also have a look in the benefits chapter at benefits modelling, because there's quite a lot of useful things to do risk modelling, which is quite a similar technique, but obviously it's risks instead of benefits. Okay, well, that's the end of this briefing on risk. I hope it proved useful to you. Thanks for listening.